at the lessons from a fig tree, as Jesus mentions here in this parable in Luke chapter 13, verse 6, he talks about a fig tree. A fig tree was very well known in Palestine and even to this day. I don't know if you're familiar with figs. In German, they're called Feigen. They're very delicious and very healthy to eat. And it's important that we learn lessons from Jesus, how he instructs us here. First of all, they came to Jesus with a very profound question. And this is a question that probably occupies many minds in our day and time. Why do tragedies happen to certain people and not others? For example, in Las Vegas, there was this shooting going on. This guy who just lost it, and he not only lost it, he was evil. And he randomly just started shooting people. So many people lost their lives. Others escaped. But there was one couple that escaped the shooting. They were from Southern California. And they were safe. They came home safely. But 3 weeks later, they had a car accident and both of them died. And you wonder, you have the same questions that these people had that approached Jesus. Why? As Brother Philip said, is that karma? No, we don't believe in karma. Why did they escape death in Las Vegas and then not escape death 3 weeks later in a car accident? Why? You know what? I don't know. I don't know how to explain that. The people here wanted a theological explanation from Jesus about the Galileans who had been killed by Pilate's soldiers, who had then mixed their blood with their sacrifice. It was a horrible act. They were treated barbarically. And the people thought, why? Why did God allow that to happen? I mean, he could have caused Pilate to have a paralyzation. He could have caused the soldiers to fall over and have no strength. He could have intervened. Why? Why this suffering? But Jesus then goes on and says, you think that the 18 people that got killed when this tower in Siloam fell on them, why they were killed? And the theological question here is, they must have been killed because they were sinners. Now get this. Was this couple that was saved in Las Vegas and 3 weeks later in California, they were killed. Were they killed because they were sinners? If God would kill all people who are sinners, you think there would be many people living on earth? I don't think so. This is what Jesus then says. Do you think that they died because they were worse sinners than others? He said, no. If you don't repent, the same thing could happen to you, he said. So then he gives the parable of a fig tree. And this is very important. We want to look at a couple of lessons here. First of all, Jesus was basically indirectly arguing with these listeners, saying, are you willing to be consistent with your conclusions? If you are consistent with your theological conclusions, some people, they want everything to be clear. They want to have a theological explanation for everything. And you know what I found after almost 40 years in ministry? You cannot give a theological explanation for everything. It doesn't make sense. Because there are things, there are mysteries. There will always be mysteries that we cannot explain why. So anyway, Jesus says, do you think the Galileans were punished because God is not as pleased with them as with others? So it is the same true of those 18 who died from the tower that fell on them. So the real question here wasn't, were these people being punished for their sin? But why are we not punished for our sins? That was actually the real question. That's what Jesus was pointing out here. You think you're better than those people that got killed? Don't think so, he said. If God wants to be really just, he has the right to punish you too for your sins. If those people that got killed died because of their sin, what makes you think that you couldn't die because of your sin? That's a very serious question here. So first of all, I want to draw three lessons from the fig tree that Jesus mentions here. First of all, God has given us life. He has planted us on this earth like a tree. And that life that he has given you and me is a gift. God is the giver of life. You and I didn't create ourselves. You and I didn't one day decide, oh, you know what, I want to be in this world, and I want to be a man, or I want to be a woman, and so on. We had no say about coming into this world. We say, well, that was our parents' fault. I mean, come on, you know. Yeah. And who made them, and who made their parents? Life comes from God. The fig tree was planted in the vineyard, the Bible says, Jesus says here. It was planted in the owner's ground. The owner's servants nurtured the tree. The tree owed its life to the owner. The owner of the tree had full control of the tree. He could cut it down, he could root it out, or he could let it grow. The tree has no right to expect life. The tree is in no position to demand anything, because the life that's given the tree, you and me, is a gift from God. Somewhere along the line, we often have the idea that God owes us a lot of things, that the world owes us many things. For some reason, we think that we are entitled to certain things, even to the length of life. And it is common today, if someone dies at 70 or 75, we believe that that life was cut short. Have we ever thought, oh yeah, if that person could have only lived till 90, or till 100, wouldn't that have been great? Maybe it's the wrong way of thinking it, because our time of departure in this earth is determined by God. Because he's in control of our life, he has given us life, and he will take it away when we're done. When he sees that we're done, he will take it away. And it doesn't matter to him necessarily how old we get. Isn't it the fact that often we feel that God has let us down if we don't get the job that we wanted, or the relationship that we wanted, or the position or the opportunity that we wanted? I know the feeling that many people have. They're disappointed in God. They believe that they were entitled to certain things. They believed, and especially as the prosperity gospel is being preached nowadays, that if you believe in God, if you believe in Jesus Christ, he will prosper you. He will make you wealthy and healthy. And whenever you have an ache or pain, you know, you bring it to the Lord and instantly he heals it. And it's just glorious and wonderful. That's the ideal, right? We have to remember our life is a gift from God. Should we tell God everything? Absolutely. Do we have a right to complain about anything? Not really. Do we complain sometimes? Yes. Why? We are a tree planted. Planted to God's glory. And God has expectations. So, in other words, R.C. Sproul says this. He cautions, he says, never pray for justice, you might get it. And I don't pray, when I pray a lot for mercy, not for justice. Because if God wants to give us what we deserve, and every disobedience and everything that we have done wrong in his sight, if he really wants to pour out his justice upon us, we're finished. We have no chance. We need mercy. And in Jesus Christ, we have that. So he has graciously given us life. And even today, he has given us graciously one more day to live for him. And this awareness is a lesson that we learn from the fig tree. Planted in God's garden. Being nourished from his soil through his word. The second one is, as recipients of grace, we are expected to produce healthy fruit. We say, well, wait a minute. How can God expect me to bear fruit that would honor him? Does God have a right to it? Well, he planted us. He gave us life, right? He allows us to enjoy a lot of things that we didn't deserve. Our life is lived by grace. We enjoy things we absolutely receive for free. Just one to mention, if we would have to buy all the oxygen that we breathe, we couldn't afford to live. That's one thing, but fruit is expected from a fig tree. The owner of the fig tree was upset because the tree wasn't producing fruit. He had come 3 years looking for fruit and had found none. In the book of Leviticus, it's actually said that the first 3 years, a tree that bore fruit, the fruit should not be eaten. The fourth year, the fruit was to be given to the Lord. And only the fifth year would the farmer reap the fruit and the benefit of the tree that he had planted. It was very clearly given as instructions to Israel. But here we say, well, wasn't this too early to expect fruit? You see, the fig tree, it's interesting. The fig tree, the fruit is budding first before the leaves. So if a fig tree only has leaves and no fruit, it's a no good tree. Worthless. We also read the story where Jesus cursed a fig tree. And it says that it was not the time yet that he was supposed to have fruit. Why did he curse it then? One explanation is there was this thing called the old fruit from the previous year. And if the old fruit, if there was no fruit from the previous year still left over, that means that in the previous year, that tree had no fruit. And so it was no good. And Jesus cursed it. God has a right to expect those he has redeemed through Jesus Christ to be fruitful. The Bible talks about us being fruitful as a result of our faith. If we have faith in Jesus Christ, it needs to show in our lives. We need to bear fruit. And the fruit is described in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. We read there, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited and provoking and envying each other. So a true believer should have evidence of faith in that we live what we profess. If we say we have love, that we practice love. If we say we have patience, that we practice patience. If we say we have joy, that we show it. If we say we have peace, that we are peaceful people. But here, the Bible says the owner of the tree was patient. He had waited several years and was going to wait another year. God is patient with us. If someone comes to Christ and gives their heart to Jesus and confesses their sins, and Jesus forgives our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness, then God is patient with us, especially since we're spiritually not mature yet. But beware. If you have been serving the Lord or confessed to be a believer for many years, maybe decades, and your spiritual maturity level is like a kindergartner, something is wrong. Our spiritual maturity needs to grow. We need to become spiritually mature that the fruit can mature in us. Growth takes time, and God understands that. God knows that He needs to be patient for us that we develop the fruit of the Spirit. It needs to be developed. It cannot be plucked too soon. But when the time of harvest comes. So we should make progress in Christ-likeness. This year, we should be more like Christ than last year. That doesn't mean that we grow out of sin. The sin is taken care of through the blood of Jesus Christ. But that we grow and mature spiritually. That the fruit of the Spirit develops in us in a healthy way. That we love others today more than we did before. That we reach out to those that are unloving more than we ever did before. The third thing that we want to look at is God is patient, but He is not patient forever. That is something that we don't like. We would like that God would be patient with us unconditionally or never stop being patient with us. There is a time when there's a cutoff. If God doesn't see results in our lives, this is what He did, what Jesus did when He went into Jerusalem. I want to read this now, as I mentioned before. Early in the morning, as Jesus was on His way back to the city, He was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, He went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then He said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." Immediately the tree withered. So there is a time when God's patience runs out with a person. First of all, God's patience can run out with a person that He has tried to draw to Jesus Christ, to come into a fellowship with Jesus for many years. And if God speaks to you, never take that lightly. Every soul that God's Spirit convicts of sin should know this. God's Spirit will not always work. You gotta come to the Lord when the opportunity is there, when the Spirit of God speaks. Today, when you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Because the time will come, the Spirit will stop speaking. God's patience runs out. God is not indefinitely patient. And the same way with us as Christians. And I think we need to be very careful here that we don't have the attitude, well, God's mercy and patience is infinite, and it's without end. Yes, he is patient with us, and even Peter said that, God is patient. But if we willingly, or should I say, if we unwillingly follow Christ, if we do not embrace truth, if we don't ask God for more, if we stop trusting the Lord that he will give us more strength and more growth, that we can produce more and better fruit, if we stop doing that, the possibility is that we will stop bearing any fruit, and then we're in danger. And that's what this lesson wants to teach us here. Our lives need to demonstrate evidence that we have been transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we are not conformed to this world. The longer we serve the Lord, the farther away we come from the philosophies of the world and from all this stuff that destroys the truth of God's word in our lives. We should not grow in a, like what the world calls progressiveness. We should not be progressive spiritually in a downward spiral. We should be progressive spiritually where we are closer to God today than we were ever before. That's God's goal with us. So today, you and I, we're fig trees planted in God's garden. God expects us to bear fruit. God expects us to live out his word, to live out the fruit of the Spirit. That's very clear. But we can't do it by ourselves. We need God's help. We need the power, the strength, the comfort, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The illumination of our minds to really know the truth, and the truth will set us free and keep us free. God's patience is there. He's very patient with us. And I thank God every day for his patience. And that's why I plead for mercy more than for justice, because justice will come. I know that. But if God is merciful and he gives us what we stand in need of, and we see our dependence on him, we cannot bear fruit on our own. We know that Jesus said that. Unless we are in Christ and he is in us, we cannot bear fruit. What happens with the fruit, with a tree that does not bear fruit? He is being eliminated. Because some people say, well, I don't bother anybody. I mean, I have my favorite sins and I live like this. I don't bother anybody. God says, no, he bothers my soil. He is taking up all this nurturing power that others could use, and he doesn't want that in his kingdom. But it's good that God makes that decision and not we. We don't go and weed out the church. We don't go and weed out congregations. God does that through his Spirit and through his word. But he wants us to bear fruit because it's worth it. It's worth it to live with Jesus Christ and be a blessing to others. Let's never take for granted the grace that God bestows upon us. Let's never take for granted the mercy he has on us and how patient he has been with us. But let's move forward to spiritual maturity, that we grow in Christ, that we say, no, I want these weak things that I used to, things that used to bother me so much, you know, what others say and what others think and what this and that, that wouldn't bother me so much, that I would focus on what Jesus does. I remember praying with souls in Bolivia, and I had to tell this one person, look, you know, they grew up in different environments than we did. I mean, everything was so rigid and such rules that they have to go by. And they have this general fear of what people will say and how people will judge them. It really bothers them how people judge them. And I said, you're not responsible for other people's actions and words. And they looked at me, what? I'm not? No. What other people say and what other people do, you're not responsible for it, but you are responsible for what you say, what you think, and what you do, and what your attitude is. That's what we're responsible for personally. And if we do that before the Lord, and we have the right attitude before the Lord, and He blesses us with great attitudes, with the spirit of peace, the spirit of God, the spirit of the fruit of the Spirit, basically, and we live out that fruit, we don't have to concern ourselves with other things, because we want to glorify God. And that's what it's all about. And I want to leave you with that. God bless you. Amen. Let's stand for prayer.